Time to get rid of LGBTQIA2S+. This is TFG Unbuttoned.
It's the Focus Group Unbuttoned with Tim Bennett and John Nash, an off-the-cuff take on politics, pop culture, and current events.
Hello, everybody. Tim Bennett here, as always, with my good friend and co-host, Mr. John T. Nash. We are TFG Unbuttoned, the companion podcast to the Focus Group with Tim Bennett and John Nash. Learn all about us and find all of our programming at focusgroupradio.com. While you're there, you'll also see some of our partners, including Critics' Choice Video, who've been with us here since we've started our Tuesday podcast, TFG Unbuttoned. So how are you, Mr. Nash?
Doing good. I am sort of anticipating the loosening grip of winter, but the minute I think that's happening, like I notice it's going to be warmer this week and I may actually be able to get outside for a bike ride. And then I look ahead and it's like, oh, we're back in the ice box next week. So we're in that weird kind of February and early March to me. I don't know how it is down by you, but that's when everything's really dead. Like, I mean, yeah. Everything's brown and gray. And then there's a week or two and then suddenly it starts changing. So I think we're getting close to that. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be in the 50s down here, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But we still have remnants of snow because we had got a couple of inches of snow last week. It missed you. They were calling it the Southern Slide. So I don't know what it hit. I guess
it was supposed to be huge, and then it magically changed. And, you know, that's, I still laugh at all these, it's the European model says this, our model says that. My model says, why don't you wait to see what happens?
Yeah. No, very, very much so. I had an odd weekend, as you know. I had gone to two funerals of two close people, people that you both, you know or know of, and probably our listeners know, too. And Brian Mark from AdMark 360's dad had passed, so his funeral was last week, as was Karen Allen from Subaru, who was a big part of when you and I worked at Subaru and then was supportive of us here when we went off to the radio show at the Focus Group. So it was, as I told you earlier before we got on, I was a little funeraled out.
It's very draining, Tim, because it's about the person who's gone, but because a lot, it draws together people you might not have seen for like 15, 20 years, it ends up being sort of a kind of a weird reunion too, right?
Yeah. Well, I learned I had gray hair.
Well, you knew that.
Yeah. It was shocking. Of course, I did the same thing. People would say, I know your face, but I don't know your name. I'm like, how could you forget me? But I was the same way too. There were people that had come up to me and just chatting. And I said, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. I'm such and such from customers. Oh, of course. But, cause I thought nobody's wearing name tags. So, you know, how do you get by? But it reminded me of a time, I think I told you, I was invited by a good friend to go to an earlier class's reunion party. And I said I was going to go, but I ended up getting late and not being able to get there. And so I was at another event and saw her, gave her a huge embrace, kiss, so good to see you, sorry I couldn't make it to the party, on and on and on. It wasn't her.
Oh, that's good.
It was just somebody's random wife who didn't even go to the college. And I was so mortified, and I kept bumping into her over the weekend, the same woman. And I was just, it reminded me of that. So I was very cautious at the funeral to not be overly, oh, hi, how are you? And then have the wrong person. But
That commercial for that, like that supplement that's supposed to help your memory? And these two women are shopping. Oh, hello. Hello. Yeah. And is it Fred, Frank? Or no, are you falling into that commercial? Oh, my God.
It had me think as I was sitting there. I thought, you know, you start thinking of your own demise, right? And whether you would want to have. It was certainly a tale of two funerals, one that was kind of very formalized, an older person, of course, so a bit more traditional, or something that was more of a celebration of life or a memorial service. And, both of them are certainly fine. But
now there was another person who had passed from Subaru.
Yes.
Did they have a service or was that not been announced? Or
no, they had, it was, so there was... I don't want to say dueling funerals, but a lot of people were going back and forth. So one was in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. The other one was in a town called Runnymede. So they were about 20 minutes apart. And people would say, oh, such and such is coming. He was just over at Joe's, or such and such is coming after, you know, he goes to Karen's. So they were going back and forth, which I wanted to say, you would have thought maybe the families would have coordinated, but
no,
obviously not. I mean, that's just
strange. Yeah. Yeah. Did you go to Joe's? Or you, it doesn't sound like you did.
I did not. I got to Karen's, and then there were a number of people from the old ad agency that showed up that would not have known Joe.
Okay.
Or certainly would not have worked him. And so worked with him. So I was with a lot of those folks and stayed and chatted with them. I'm not so sure I would have been able to find, you know, that whole area has changed. I haven't worked there in 20 years.
It was hard 20 years ago.
To get your way around. Well, first of all, I went to the wrong funeral home.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
So because it's the same funeral home with the same name was a mile apart from another one. So I put it in the GPS and I'm driving. I wasn't paying all them. I said, oh, here it is. And I pull in. I thought, God, could I be this early? There's nothing here. Doors are locked. So I get back in the car. I type in the address again and it was another, you know, 900 feet or whatever it was away. And down the road a half a mile. So I got there. But going to they were having a big luncheon afterwards in an area that I knew. And again, you've been down there, Collingswood. I got so lost, John. And for whatever reason, the GPS kept taking me to people's houses address.
That's like when I was in California. Address.
Yeah. Right. It would be like saying it was at 329 Route 7. I'll make it up. So it took me to 329 Route 7 or whatever the closest towns were. So I was at four or five different towns. It took me 45 minutes. Mahoney finally sent me a text and said, are you lost? I almost just got on the highway and went back to Delaware because I was so frustrated, and finally found the place after 45 minutes, which was about a 3-minute drive.
Yeah.
So I just felt very old and incapable of technology. But for some reason, the GPS in my Volkswagen would not recognize the town.
God, Tim, go back to the days of paper maps. You would have been a disaster.
Well, I would have been better. But I would have been better with a paper map. Paper map, I think. So hey, we have three quick stories this week. As always, that's how TFG and Button works. The first one, this came from Out Magazine, and they had a guest writer pontificate about the use of LGBTQ, or as I said earlier, which I guess the official one in some venues is LGBTQIA2S+. Which is, I guess, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, gender expansive, queer, questioning, intersex, asexual, two-spirit.
Yeah, so, and that's a great way to kick off the article.
So I can leave it at that, right? His name is Jeff McMullen. And
he was the guest essayist, right?
Right, at Out Magazine. And he seems to think that it's time for all the letter alphabet community to have a different name that is more all-encompassing, particularly in this new environment with the Republican Party. You and I have said this a bunch of times. The more letters have gotten added, the more it's been diluted and the more it becomes confusing, and then you actually lose any sort of power as a community. And so I thought this story was somewhat appropriate. I'm not sure I like the word he wants to use, but what was your takeaway on this?
It's exactly what you said. I think the sentiment is correct. And he has here a sentence behind this collapsing of the LGBTQ+IA. The rationale behind the label's origins has led to seemingly endless iterations. So it used to be LGB, or it used to be gay and lesbian, frankly.
Yeah,
or
gay.
I'm going to go back there in a second. But by every time they added a letter, it became less and less relevant and less credible. And so he wants to remove this identifier completely, and he just wants people to identify as queer American. I'm reminded of David Sedaris months ago doing an essay on CBS Sunday Mornings, and he did it about queer. And he said, you know, you're not allowing me to choose these things. There's some secret committee that first says you're gay and lesbian, then it's LGBT, then it's LGBTQ, then it's LBG, you know, and he said... And now they want me to be queer. He goes, I don't even like the word. I think the sentiment is correct, but I just scratched my head that you would pick and you'd say, let's all gather under the umbrella of queer. It's not a word that I'm very fond of. And that's just a personal opinion. If the community wants to move on and decide everybody's queer, great. But, you know, it took a lot of my lifetime to get used to being gay, right? Or the term, right?
Yeah, I don't like the term either, but you know, people say it's very much in your face and it's active. It's a more of an activist play in terms of letting people know we're here and blah blah blah. I also didn't like cisgender either, though, back in the day, because I thought if you're a male or a female, right, generally people are straight, mm-hmm. right? And so what did cisgender do other than, again, confuse people? I've had more people ask me, my neighbor across the street, she's 86 years old, what's cisgender? What is that?
Yeah, yeah.
I said, it's male or female. Well, why not just say that? So anyway,
You can make the intellectual argument that he makes about reclaiming the word and about ownership. It's just, again, here's another entity that, you know, I don't know that many people really sit down and say, what do I want to label myself? Because this goes back to what you and I used to talk about all the time. Before I'm any of these things, I'm this, I'm that, I'm a cyclist, I'm an uncle, da, da, da. Oh, and I happen to be gay. I mean, it's I don't know.
Well, I remember when we first launched and when you were owner of Mulryan Nash and we launched the Subaru campaign many, many years ago, 20 some years ago. And back then you would say gay woman or gay man.
Yep, correct.
And I said gay woman at an event in San Francisco and got heckled and booed. But it was funny. I typed something into ChatGPT recently and I asked about a particular celebrity. Who's female, who's lesbian. But it identified her as a gay woman, which I thought was interesting. It didn't go through all the machinations. It just said, so-and-so is a gay woman. And I thought, it's simple, it's clean, right?
Yeah.
It's a gay woman. And whether that means she's bisexual or all the other letters, I don't know. Maybe we're old, John. I don't know.
No, we're not old. We are. But because of it, we've seen the wheel turn a couple of times. And this game of labeling can be for and against. People can use it against you. It could unify. It could cause disunity. I just think that, and then the organizations that are meant to support us, the nonprofits like HRC, GLAAD, the whole bunch of them, they all kind of skitter around on what the proper terminology is or what they insist that we be called. And the AP jumps on and says, okay, from now on, we're going to do this. And the company adopts that. You and I, for years, I mean, when we started our radio show on Sirius, we used to be like slapped routinely on the hand or the wrist for saying gay and lesbian or lesbian and gay. It has to be LGBT because that's what it was back then. And remember that attempt? It was LGBT. By 2016 or 15, then the Q came, then the plus came. And I have to agree with the guy who wrote this, Jeff McMullen. Every time you add something, it just doesn't seem like it's even a moniker. But you
No, I was going to say that's like the mess they made of the flag, right? Yeah. The pride flag with the original colors, which had nothing to do with gender, had nothing to do with race. It was about health. And community and, you know, all the adjectives around the flag. And then they added bisexual color or transgender colors, so the pink, white, and light blue. Then they added brown and black because they thought people of color. Well, that's never what the pride flag was about.
It wasn't about the color. It was about the emotions behind it, right?
Right. And now we've added in a yellow triangle with a purple symbol in it for intersex. It's become such a mess. That again, people ask about the flag. Well, I had the mayor of the town here because they were going to fly the flag. He said, I don't know what to do. Do I fly the pride? He goes, we've had a pride flag forever that they would fly in June. He goes, but somebody gave me this. And he goes, I said, fly which one you want.
I said,
the other one to me is just as, again, it's trying to be too many things rather than, rather than what the intention of that stuff was, it just becomes very confusing. And I had to look up, you know, when I kind of joked when I opened up today, but I had to look up because I can't remember LGBTQIA2S+.
Because nobody does. Nobody's using that in regular conversation. It's just,
So it's great. Anyhow. Moving along, we have our friends at Target, her once again in the news. And as we know, they were one of the first, although they were very pro and always have been very pro LGBTQ in their business practices and DEI practices. They got in trouble with a couple years ago when they did the trans bathing suits, right?
Yep.
And then they got hit by the guy on X, this Robbie Starbuck, who was going after all these companies about DEI. So this headline is Target hit with huge backlash for DEI betrayal with black shoppers who are now urged to halt all purchases. So there's the pastor who has decided that she's going to start, or she's going to lead a boycott, Dr. Jamal Bryant, the prominent pastor from Atlanta. It's called for a 40-day boycott of Target beginning in March with all black people or African-American people to protest the fact that they're no longer going to adhere to any DEI standards in terms of hiring or practices. And this economic boycott, he thinks, aligns with Dr. Martin Luther King's philosophy about economics being a powerful form of protest in terms of hurting somebody in the wallet. I don't disagree if the community wants to do that. But I thought, because I had pulled this and sent some additional things, because Bette Midler also wants to do an economic boycott just globally of everything, right, February 28th. And then there's some other groups that are trying to do different things in March and February. But I thought some of it may be getting out of control, right? You got to remember the dates to do something. But what did you think about the black boycott and then this boycott overall?
Well, poor Target. They can't win. And I think that, first of all, if you just look at their situation, they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. So they caved into the Starbucks and they basically said, okay, the new administration is claiming this, this, and this, even though there are cases going before the courts where the elimination of DEI has now been looked at as a restriction on our First Amendment rights, which means it may not stick, but he put the fear of God into people and he caused this domino thing to happen. And now these companies are backing away. And we think of DEI as gay men, as their articulation of a policy or their connection with our community. But in fact, in Target's case, they spent years like sourcing merchandise and unique things from black entrepreneurs and Hispanic community. They've done a job with this. And now when they roll it back, I think if you're someone who got your product in the store, if we're looking at the black community, for example, and you worked hard and you got this great thing on the shelves of Target, it's great. Now they roll DEI back and everybody's pissed. They want to boycott Target, but that means they're going to be boycotting the very people who finally got their stuff on the shelves because of this kind of stuff. So it's messy, A and B. I don't really know how well these boycotts work. If you're going to say a day of not buying anything worldwide, good luck making that happen, A. And then the other one you sent, Tim, was this like schedule of boycotts.
Yes.
And none of them are marches. One's a march, and that was President's Day. That's in the past. But then you have February 28th is hit them in their profits, economic blackout, no spending for 24 hours, not a march. March 7th to 14th, U.S. and world oligarch number one protest, Amazon, not buying from Amazon. So that's not a march either, but you can't buy from Amazon. And that's supposed to be for one whole week. And then there's the national strike, no work for 24 hours. I'd love to see that one get pulled off, right? All workers, all businesses, and all higher ed, not a march.
The one I think I'm going to partake in is the February 28th one, because I think that one's
no spending. That's easy.
Yeah, that's the one that Bette Midler is, and it's been all over social media. I've even seen flyers that have been posted around here in town, small little Rehoboth. But it says on February 28th nationwide, don't purchase anything unless it's from a small business. So it said no gas, no fast food, nothing from places like Target, Walmart, Amazon. And they want to try it for a day, and then they think if that works, they'll move on to other times. I'll be curious, like you, though, to see. We could certainly hold off for a day, right? Purchasing anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll see if there's actual a discernible decline. But I don't know. I guess I'll be skeptical, like you, a little bit.
It's hard to corral all those people and get that energy in one spot, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like a bus boycott in a small city where it could have a huge impact immediately.
Yeah.
So the last story is a little bit of a, I laughed a little bit. It's very kind of inside baseball because of New York, right? With the bodegas, which are essentially small corner stores or convenience stores that you might refer to. But in New York City, they call them, or they're mostly known as bodegas. And they used to always sell something called Lucy's, which were cigarettes, right? A single cigarette.
Singer cigarette was a single cigarette. Lucy.
What did a Lucy cost? Did you ever know? What were they, a buck?
Oh,
or what were they?
Back in the day, they were like a quarter.
So you could go buy one cigarette for a quarter.
Yeah, like back when cigarettes were like $2 a pack or $3, they were cheap. They were like 10 cents, right, or 15. Now, of course, a Lucy could probably cost you a buck because a pack of cigarettes
are so expensive, or $10 a cigarette. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's one of the bodegas, and this came out of the Bronx, but other places they said are doing it. So instead of doing the Lucy cigarettes, they're now doing Lucy's in regard to eggs because of the egg pricing. So they're selling eggs. You could buy one egg at some of these places. One of the bodegas has three eggs for $2.99, which he says is better than the $12 a carton. And so instead of going and buying a full dozen eggs, which in some places now can be $8, $9, $10, $12. My mom said up in Connecticut, they were over $10 for a dozen eggs at the one store she was in. And I saw down here too that they were pushing $10 a dozen. So if you just wanted two eggs, which not you though, you use a lot of eggs.
Well, I use eggs. So this one really caught me because Bob went to Aldi the other day and he did pick up two dozen eggs for me, and they went from last week, they were $4.67. Now they're $5.69.
Exactly. They were $5.69 down here, which I thought was high for Aldi.
Oh, it is. But the regular grocery store, the Hannaford's we go to, they were $7.60. And in Manhattan, I went to the grocery store the other day and saw $10 and $12,
yep,
you know, dozen eggs. And I said to Bob, even if the eggs are $5.69 at Aldi, buy them, because the difference between that and the $7 or $8, that's like a gallon of gas.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at it that way, like you're saving enough money to buy a gallon of gas, and it even makes the trip to the store worthwhile at that point.
My fear is that it's going to affect, because you think about baked goods, cookies. I even saw it at Fresh Mart. Cookies have gone up $2 a box.
Oh, because of the ingredients, yeah.
Because of eggs. Right. So think about going out to breakfast is going to be a luxury now, because you go out to get an omelet. They've already showing that breakfast places are putting on a surcharge in some of the national chains.
But hey, the president claimed he was going to lower prices on day one. And then
Have we heard about eggs?
Well, he was asked about it, and then he did his typical pass the buck.
I have nothing to do with it.
The bird flu came before I came into office. So he can ride on the coattails of the bird flu happening in December, I suppose, or January, but eventually he's going to own it, or maybe not. Everything slips off.
No,
he'll blame the Democrats or some other, you know, nefarious organization. Yeah. All right, there you go, folks. Lucy's, now referring to eggs. That's where we are as a culture. It used to be a cigarette, now it's an egg. Thank you for joining us here. That's going to be it for us here on TFG Unbuttoned. We want to thank our partner, Critics' Choice Video, America's classic movie and TV authority since 1987. You can get there by going to our site, focusgroupradio.com, and clicking on their logo. And you'll also learn about the Focus Group there, which drops in video form on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Facebook Live and YouTube. And if you are a subscriber to the audio feed, it will just pop into your feed on Saturdays. So everybody, please stay safe, and we look forward to seeing you next week here on TFG Unbuttoned.
It's the Focus Group Unbuttoned with Tim Bennett and John Nash, available every Tuesday. Learn more about Tim and John, Unbuttoned, and all of the Focus Group platforms at focusgroupradio.com.